Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome once more to Food for the Journey. Today, as we usually do, we look ahead to the readings for this Sunday, which will be the 25th Sunday in Ordinary Time. The first reading for this Sunday's Mass is taken from the Book of Wisdom, chapter 2, verse 12, and then verses 17 to 20. The wicked say, "Let us beset the just one, because he is obnoxious to us." Whew. The just one, the holy one, the king. The wicked say, "Let us beset the just one, because he is obnoxious to us." He sets himself against our doings. How often we attack other people because they show or reveal to us our own sinfulness, and we're humiliated, and so we attack them, rather than thanking God that he has used an instrument, another person, to show us our sin, and humbly acknowledge it, bow down, and repent. But so often what we do when somebody in some way reveals our sin, I don't mean in shouting at us, or even then, if they're yelling at us for something, it behooves us to pay attention before we attack back and say, is there truth here? Is there a part of this, at least, that's true? Take advantage, even though those times are hard, instead of just fighting back and creating greater animosity, say, just let's give ourselves some time away from one another. Let me think about this, and then assess it. Is there something being said to me here, even if it's coming to me the wrong way in the wrong spirit? Is there something being said here that I need to pay attention to? God can use anything to reveal to us our state. And even though it's humiliating, it's a tremendous grace. Because when we stand before the judgment seat of God, excuses won't have much weight, frankly, because we will clearly see. God will show us clearly what we've done wrong. Better, much better that we get it clear in this life and acknowledge our weakness. So the wicked say, "Let us beset the just one, because he is obnoxious to us. He sets himself against our doings, reproaches us for transgressions of the law, charges us with violations of our training. Let us see whether his words be true. Let us find out what will happen to him. For if the just one be the Son of God, God will defend him and deliver him from the hands of his foes. With revilement and torture, let us put the just one to the test." This is a word coming to us long before the time of Christ, but it was fulfilled in Christ. With revilement and torture, let us put the just one to the test, that we may have proof of his gentleness and try his patience. Let us condemn him to a shameful death. For according to his own words, God will take care of him. God the Father certainly did take care of his Son. And he reigns forever in glory, because he was obedient to the Father and did what the Father asked. But without faith, you could look at the scene, for example, of the crucifixion and say, well, all hope is lost. He was wrong. He died. He'll be forgotten. He's nothing. And we can trumpet that what we're doing is better. Oh, brothers and sisters, we can be so blind. We can look right in the face of someone that God is using as an instrument to reveal to us our own weaknesses and our own deficiencies, so that we will turn and change. And so often we attack in return. We attack the bearer of the news that we don't want to receive. We don't want to receive the messenger, and on top of it, we want to kill the messenger. We do that all the time. We kill by gossip, we kill by slander, we kill by avoidance, we kill by, I will never speak to you again, whatever the case may be. We kill, we destroy. How important it is, no matter what the messenger is or how the message comes to us, how important it is to be able to look at our sin, to look at our offenses, even if they come to us in a way that we would rather not. They don't. It doesn't come in the kind of package that we want. If it's true, accept it. And let's work to do something about it. That will bear fruit for all eternity. That's the promise of God. In Psalm 54, the Lord upholds my life. The Lord does uphold our lives when we give ourselves to Him. When we seek to be His disciple more and more, the Lord does come to our help. He upholds our life. Behold, God is my helper. The Lord sustains my life. Freely will I offer you sacrifice. I will praise your name, O Lord, for its goodness. Do you praise Him every day? Do you thank Him every day? There are always things to praise Him and thank Him for, even in the dark times. Think about it. And the letter of James, chapter 3, beginning with verse 16, Beloved, where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and every foul practice. What's going on in you when there are difficult situations? What's your motive? What's working on you? Pay attention to that. Put it under the Lordship of Christ. Say, Lord, I am being proud. That's why I'm reacting so strongly here. Or I'm offended. Or I'm mortified, or whatever the case may be, and I'm lashing out in return because I'm embarrassed or I'm hurt. Lord, help me to see what's really going on here. Help me to see what's at work in me. When you ask those kinds of questions, God will answer them. But the wisdom from above is first of all pure, peaceable, gentle, compliant, full of mercy and good fruits, without inconstancy or insincerity. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace for those who cultivate peace. Where do the wars and where do the conflicts among you come from? Is it not from your passions that make war within your members? You covet, but you do not possess. You kill and envy, but you cannot obtain. You fight, you wage war. You do not possess because you do not ask. You ask, but you do not receive because you ask wrongly. We ask for selfish motives. God, do this for me. God, do that for me. Or we ask of other people for selfish motives. That really can work in us. We want to spend it on our passions. There are all kinds of passions, but one of them is our pride. I want to be the best, top dog. No matter how we disguise it, we just love it when we're first. We love it when we're chosen for whatever. Well, okay, but are we getting it by right thinking or wrong thinking? Are we getting it just so that, are we seeking honor just so that we can be approved of? Or are we seeking honor, seeking to do good is probably the better way to say it. Are we seeking to do good no matter what the effect is? And if we are, then we will be truly honored by God. But if we seek to do good for others so that others will see how wonderful we are, as Jesus says in the gospel, you've already received your reward. You have others' approval. It's so important, our motivation, brothers and sisters. So important. In the gospel of Mark, chapter 9, verses 30 to 37, Jesus and his disciples left from there and began a journey through Galilee. But he did not wish anyone to know about it. He was teaching his disciples. See, Jesus needed time with them because he knew what was about to happen. He knew that very shortly, he only had 3 years of public ministry, short time. And he knew that the apostles, the disciples he had chosen, he knew that they needed a lot of instruction and they needed to grow in faith. And so as often as he could, he took them aside. He tried to find a quiet place, a quiet time, so he could talk to them, really teach them. He was teaching his disciples and telling them, the Son of Man is to be handed over to men, and they will kill him. And 3 days after his death, the Son of Man will rise. But they did not understand the saying, and they were afraid to question him. So this is one of what I'm sure was the most frustrating time for Jesus. They just kind of look at him. And he knows they don't get it. He knows every thought that's going on in their heads, but he is looking for them to engage him. Jesus, what are you saying? Jesus, what does this mean? Jesus, pray for me that I may have strength to follow you no matter what the difficulties that are coming. They aren't there. They're just kind of quiet. They don't know what to do, and they're afraid to question him because it's going to show that they really don't understand what Jesus is talking about, and they don't want to be seen as being dumb. And so they hesitate to question. Don't we do that a lot? It's at least one of the reasons they were quiet. They didn't want to be foolish in front of their brothers, their contemporaries. So they didn't ask. That must have been very hard for Jesus because he knew their thoughts. And he knew that they didn't trust him fully yet. They had not abandoned themselves yet to God fully. And that put them in a very weak position when Jesus died. That would put them in a very, very vulnerable position. So he prayed for them a lot, a lot. And he prayed that their hearts would be open. Now they came to Capernaum. And once inside the house, he began to ask them, what were you arguing about on the way? So apparently as they're walking along, first they're afraid to ask him any questions. And then this argument develops among the group of them as they're walking along. Jesus doesn't ask them anything then. He waits. And the argument must have been done rather in whispers. So they came to Capernaum, and once inside the house, he began to ask them, what were you arguing about on the way? But they remained silent. They had been discussing among themselves on the way who was the greatest. Look at that. Jesus is telling them about his passion and death. These are his closest friends. These are the ones he's relying on. And what are they fighting about? One, they don't get this and they don't know how to answer it. But they're also arguing among themselves about who's the greatest among them. They're focused on self, brothers and sisters, and how often is that the case for us? So he sat down, must have been very discouraged. He sat down and he called the 12 and he said to them, if anyone wishes to be first, so you see, he knew what they were thinking. If anyone wishes to be first, he shall be the last of all and the servant of all. If you want to be great in the kingdom of God, take the last place. Serve. Give. Do the things other people don't want to do. Other people want to be seen for being honored. Do the hidden things. And Jesus will see. Taking a child, Jesus placed it in their midst, and putting his arms around it, he said to them, whoever receives one child such as this in my name receives me. And whoever receives me receives not me, but the one who sent me. In other words, the closer you grow to imitating the Lord's humility, and that takes great grace, the closer you do that, the more you will have union, the more you will be familiar with both the Father and the Son. There is no joy greater, brothers and sisters, than that. God bless you. As we prepare for this year of mercy, which will begin this December, I want to make available to you a free copy of my booklet, Captured by Mercy. I'm going to be speaking on this program a great deal about the true meaning of mercy, but I'd like you to have a free copy of my booklet now, Captured by Mercy. You can receive it simply by calling this number, 1-800-282-4789.